going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We will have a Chris Brown ticket giveaway here in this hour. But right now, I think it can be a preposterous endeavor, but it is actually pretty fun. 877-881-1053, your opportunity to go ahead and grade the Dallas Cowboys draft. Now, in reality, should we probably wait, like, I don't know, 3 years to do this? Sure. But as Dion right. told me, we're in a now culture, and we may need to make these decisions right now. So go ahead and give me a grade for the Dallas Cowboys draft class.
I will give you, I think that they got a 91.
You're going to go with grade draft. Okay.
Yeah, I'll give it a 91. So that's like an A minus, right? Like, yes. Right there. So 95 would be an A.
Yeah. I think 94 to 96 is an A, I want to say.
95 to 100 is... So, yeah, I give it a 91. So, I think I thought they did really good, man. I like what they added to this team and the areas that they added some youthful legs and some of the areas where they added a lot of power and toughness that I think this team has been missing for some time. Now, how quickly will that be able to see itself on the field? I don't know, because some of these guys might be, hey, that's a special teams guy that might not be able to get in a lot of reps until something happens here or until he grows and improves.
Now, it looks like most places that you look, I think everywhere I've seen the Cowboys have gotten at least a B, and I'm going to change that to your specific number 80, grade.
84, 85.
84 to 86. 89. And so ESPN gave them a B, so 84 to 86. Yahoo gave them an A minus, so kind of in that 90 to 93 range. And then, that was NFL Network. And then Yahoo gave them an A. That's 94 to 96. You know what I thought was really interesting about the way the NFL did it? They not only gave an overall grade, they graded day by day. And so day one with Booker, they gave the Cowboys a B plus. Day two, they got an A minus. Day three, they got an A minus, which trended into the A minus for their overall grade.
I can't remember what site it was that I was looking at, but I was going through their individual draft grades for each person on the Cowboys. And the Jaden Blue, they gave him like a D plus. And I was like, whoa. And then they just like went all about how great he was. And I was like, that doesn't feel like it's a D plus. And I'm guessing that was, feeling of something else. I don't know. But for the most part, I think those grades are pretty accurate. From the 940B, I think he got three solid 8-plus year starters, but no stars. Dude, to get three solid starters?
Yeah.
Starters for that long? That's significant. I mean, that's huge. You do have probably, and the way the Cowboys have approached this over time is when they hit with an offensive lineman, that offensive lineman's there for probably 10 years. You know, like Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, those guys are going to be around for a while as long as their bodies can hold up. But 8+ year starters at three, that's pretty impressive in one to get that in a draft. I like it.
This one's interesting from the 817. I don't see any future Hall of Famers in the draft, so no team should be an A+. Like, I definitely get that perspective. I do wonder, like, to Corey's point about, like, you got to nail all your picks. If you came out of this with six starters that were, like, all that were
crap,
Pro Bowl,
dude,
and they were that way for 8 years, I feel like that would give you an A+. Even if no one was specifically a Hall of Famer, if you anchored in, you know, like, realistically, what, a fourth of your starting lineup for the next decade, then that would probably get it done. But I understand their point. From the 682, A+, if we sign Keenan Allen, I assume that's from Zach Wolchuk.
Is he all about the Keenan Allen edition?
I don't know
edition?
How Marcus Mosher feels about that.
What happened there?
Man.
Should we go revisit that one?
Do you think Zach would rather us talk about that or what I think we're going to talk about at 1 o'clock?
Probably the Keenan Allen thing.
Okay.
Because he got the dub on that one.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I agree with that. From the 945, yes, an A grade, but it doesn't matter as long as it's the same old Cowboys culture. Now.
I don't disagree.
Okay. I'm with you.
And that being said, their head coach wants to change the culture. Can he do it under the umbrella that is the Cowboys organization?
And
that's the big key.
And that's the million-dollar question. We can break that down probably every day for the next, hopefully only the next year. Because you're like, oh, we won the Super Bowl. But if ever there was going to be a player who said all the right things, like, I know you can't actually win the draft based on words, but man, did Tyler Booker get close.
Dude, he did.
Like
activity, like everything. And man, he won. That's a big victory for him, dude, especially with those Luke Casey boots he got.
Oh.
Those look nice.
And so when you hear what Booker's saying, when you hear some of the things that Schottenheimer are saying, you wonder if they are trying to change that culture. But then again, I understand every single person who responds and said, words mean nothing to me in April, May, June. Like, I understand all of that. I'm not disputing the people's feelings.
Yeah.
From the 561, and we kind of tackled that. We kind of tackled this in the opening segment. From the 561, B+, still very concerned about the lack of an RB1 and wide receiver 2 on the roster. And that is fair. We've talked about this. If you go back to our Stephen Jones interview on Friday, he said he anticipated those were still things that could be addressed, the two substantive trades after the draft. So I still think there's a possibility. A lot of people are upset about if they would go after George Pickens. I just could see that being something that they were interested in.
Yeah. I mean, they still have plenty of time for this roster to change in a lot of different ways. And quite honestly, when you're looking at the picks that they just made and added to this team, Kevin, we could go back and look at the offensive line picks. Doesn't it kind of feel like they're just kind of hitting the refresh button
a little bit
with some of the backups that they had before? When you're adding, like, Cornelius, I don't know that he's a starter, but you are kind of looking at the spots that he could be, and you're like, okay, we just lost this guy, might be on his way out the door. I mean, how much longer are they going to try and hold on to the ball? You know, how much longer can they say we think this project's going to work out for us?
That has been the most maddening person on the roster for so many years.
And with a guy like Shamar James, I think there's still a lot of learning for him to do, and he's got some athleticism, but some growth that he has to do. So that back half of it, it does seem like there's a lot of areas for growth in those. But those first three picks, they felt like we're gonna get these right, especially not having the fourth. And I feel like they did. So those first three, I think, are pretty strong.
From the 972, what receivers were available in the fourth round where they could have had a pick if they hadn't traded for Mingo? Honestly, I hear your question. I think that was going to be the running back pick. And I wonder if the Panthers made the pick that perhaps you would have liked in Trevor Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're like, we're going to get his brother in the trade, so don't worry about it.
I meant, well, let's go, by the way. Sorry, not
no, I understood.
My apologies.
For the longest year, yeah. Josh, for the longest time, Josh Ball being on the roster every year, like, I don't even know what we're doing.
The Jaden Blue pick, I think that could definitely change everybody's perception if he turns out to be pretty good on this draft, too, because running back was such a big factor. Now, where does this running back room line up? That's a good question right now, because you have a bunch of a handful of guys, and none of them really stand out as being amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I would say that I do feel like Schottenheimer is like, but I will rotate these two or these three, and I know what I can, the ways that I can use them. I think that's how he's going to approach this. But, you know, when it comes to Blue, he is a receiving type dude that can do a lot of different things. Javonte Williams is kind of a straightforward runner at this point. He hasn't shown to be anything elusive, more of a power back in that instance. Miles Sanders is going to be around the, and we'll see how that works. So like I'm very interested in the Phil Maffa pick, because watching him a little bit, you're like, hey man, this dude has some powerful legs. Is he really that powerful and strong? Man, there's some goal line situations that I was concerned about. He had 8 touchdowns. He could have, he didn't have blow away breakaway speed, but he could get through the line, and that was impressive. So they have a lot of interesting things at running back, but Blue could definitely change a lot of people's minds if he holds on to the ball and does some of these extra things that he can do.
And I don't mind that our other running back doesn't have breakaway speed, because in Blue, you picked up the person who has all of the speed. So his top speed in college, I still think it's amazing that we measure this now. I think it's so cool. Was 22.3 miles per hour.
He got a ticket in the school zone.
Since, man, what? Because you need to keep your mouth shut, right? But what would you want to say to that cop if they're like,
hey,
I had to go in 22.3 miles per hour? Because you're not going to win if that person is decided. If you're like, give me an effing break. It's 20. But like, you're going to think it.
It's the school zone, dude.
So Kevontae Turpin and Raheem Mostert are the only NFL ball carriers to get to 22.3 miles per hour in the last 5 years. Or faster.
So you got speed.
So if you want to tell me you now have two of the three, give or take, fastest players in the league on specific plays, well, the numbers will back you up on that. But yeah, look, if that cop pulls you over for going 22 and a 20, don't say anything that you're not supposed to say legally, because that person has already decided they're not having any shenanigans and nonsense today.
That's a fact.
There are a few things, by the way, Ross. There are a few things in life on a smaller level I enjoy more than seeing the dip S speed through the school zone and like cut around people and then get pulled over.
Oh, that sweet, sweet karmic payback is so good.
Absolutely. By the way, in case you're curious, Cornelius, the offensive lineman that the Cowboys took, he said he can play either tackle or guard for Dallas. So,
yeah, I feel like you put him on the right side and you kind of solve some of those right side flex situations that you've kind of been looking at going, all right, what are we going to do here? So I think that's going to be just fine for him.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's going to be jam-packed. What should fans be allowed and not allowed to do at sporting events? Because we saw a lot of that over the weekend. Plus NFL draft overreaction or reality. Plus our giveaway. All of it next right here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There it is.
There it is.
Paul Shamar James
from Florida. This was a guy that they met with at the Combine and really liked. And he had a lot of similar affection for Dallas. Trade details here. They're giving up 174 and 204 for this pick for Shamar James.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
And they really wanted that guy, huh?
Yes, they did. Man, that was the funny thing about the Shador move, and I understand why. They're like, hey, we passed on him 8 times. We got to trade up now to get him. You're like, okay. Did you not think last? No, last time.
He might not be there.
So, NFL draft overreaction or reality. I'm going to bounce it between you and Ross and get your thoughts on some of these questions that I have crafted or stolen. NFL overreaction or reality, you care more about the NFL draft than training camp.
Oh. I guess I do. Because training camp has changed a lot. And so, you know, even the preseason games are nothing. For the Cowboys at least.
Yeah.
I have no clue what they are going to look, what these receivers are going to look like with Dak Prescott. No clue.
Yeah.
And I have no clue how they're going to get that game time timing down. And the first few games might be a little ugly because of that. So, yeah, the way that it all falls together, I feel like the excitement and the possibility, it's like Christmas. You don't know what your presents are that are wrapped, but you're excited about what the potential could be. And that's what the draft is for me, being able to start trying to fit players into what I think they are and who they're going to be for this team. And, you know, what coaches were probably saying, I want this player, and talking to the scouts about that. So I get what you're saying there.
Ross?
No, I feel the exact same way. I think the way you put it is so apt. So just like Christmas, you know, you never know what you're going to get, but you're still excited nonetheless. When training camp hits, I'm not usually very big about it because it feels like it's like, okay, cool. I'm excited because the NFL season is almost here. But I also know that I have to go through the rigmarole of training camp and then preseason games where starters will sit out. So just like you were saying, it's lost a little bit of weight. But I'm interested to hear what y'all have to say because y'all are out there, you know, every year doing this. Yep. So it's probably different on y'all's end.
I still, Kevin, love the work out there. I still love the getting out there and being able to watch these dudes run their routes and compete one-on-ones. And that's probably my favorite part of it. Whenever they're doing their walkthroughs twice a day, and I don't know how Schottenheimer's going to do it. Yeah. I have no clue what his plan's going to be. But whenever they're out there doing it, it is fun. And the competition is can be fun, especially whenever they bring another team in.
Yeah.
And that gets a little bit heated. But for the most part, it's kind of a vacation warm-up, it looks like a lot of times.
NFL overreaction or reality, one of the best decisions the NFL has made in recent memory was taking the draft on the road.
Instead of
Rockefeller.
Okay.
Music
Hall. Yeah.
Radio City Music Hall. Thank you.
I said it whenever they dropped the first one. Was it Chicago? Whenever they started moving around, I was like, this is brilliant. This is great because now it's like moving the Super. It's like the Super Bowl. You get to get another city that gets more invested in it, and a ton of people come out. Maybe not Green Bay, because you know maybe that's just not the place.
I do like the
destination.
The not home run was 600,000 people. Now are some of those carryover? Sure, but like that's still an unbelievable amount. How many people does Radio City Music Hall hold?
Yeah, and when will Dallas get the draft back? You know, it was pretty beautiful when it was here. So let's do it again.
Yeah, no, I really do enjoy the touring aspect of it. It makes me excited because it shows like all these fans are all excited at all these locations. But going back to what you're talking about, the Super Bowl changing, I would love for the Super Bowl to not just be in Miami or New Orleans or Las Vegas. Be pretty cool if it came back to Arlington sometime.
It would, but you saw the exact reason why it hasn't, unfortunately, that year. And they're like,
we have unpredictable weather. Yeah,
could be fine. Could be ice storm.
Yeah. We very unpredictable weather at that time of year.
NFL overreaction or reality. Shador Sanders' slide had more to do with non-football things than it did actual football abilities.
I believe that. You know, you can rub people the wrong way. And they say that they'll turn on you very quickly. Because what I watched of him playing, there are a lot of qualities that I like a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think that the football part of it really wasn't the biggest factor. I do wonder though, if the people that watch him felt like that was his ceiling and he had no more upside for them. That's something I don't ever really know when it comes to projecting. And so if the projections were this guy's going to be far better than him, he's already at his max, then that's something that I'm not aware of when it comes to that. But it did seem like it was mostly personality, and maybe the kid needs to be humbled a little more. That's what it seemed like from what I was hearing.
Yeah, and I just kind of wanted to look this up real quick to confirm that this wasn't just, you know, me getting scintilled or whatever. But according to this article I'm reading from the Colorado Buffaloes, it looks like Todd McShay revealed his sources said the Giants sent Sanders a binder to prepare for their private workout. And Sanders showed up to the workout without studying the binder. So absolutely, you know, mental preparation, like that's something that you may have been able to get away with in like high school, college. But once you get to the pro level, you can't just kind of wing it and be successful. So I think it's absolutely non-football related.
You can choose to answer this question if you want or not. NFL overreaction or reality? President Trump helped get Shedeur Sanders drafted. This was an actual thing that actually happened in an actual press conference.
What are you doing right now?
That there was a question about it and there was an answer about it. And so if they're going to bring it up, I think I should be able to bring it up. He put something out on True Social. Then a couple rounds later, Shedeur got drafted. Overreaction to reality. Trump made that happen.
Do you follow him on True Social?
I don't have True Social.
Okay, I don't either, yeah. So I don't want to know the truth,
I don't have
I guess.
Blue Sky either for like if we're trying to balance things out.
All right. Do you have Twitter?
Yes. Oh, so I guess that's I've had Twitter for a really long time.
Yeah, before
whatever. Okay. Let's go to the next question.
I honestly don't think it does. It could be a coincidence. Hey, I don't know.
The NFL legitimately reached out to the Cowboys once and said, hey, will you draft this person?
That happened.
That did happen. NFL overreaction or reality? By Saturday, Shedeur, and this will be my last one with that.
The last Shedeur one?
Yeah. Okay. Shedeur would have been better off going undrafted.
Oh, interesting, because then he could go wherever he wants.
Yeah, and they just took a quarterback two rounds earlier, and then you still have Deshaun, Flacco. Like, that is a crowded room.
I do wonder this, because I started thinking about this. He won't have a fifth-year option, team option, correct, right? So he can, after 4 years, he doesn't like Cleveland, he has better opportunities to get out of there. True. That is a positive thing about
this.
Or
is he going to be holding on for... I don't know. I don't know.
But yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm right there. Yes, I agree. That is reality in my mind.
By the way, the sad Browns quarterback room. Shedeur is tied with Dylan Gabriel and Joe Flacco for backup. The leading betting odds right now is that Kenny Pickett will be the next starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. So
that's unfortunate for Cleveland.
There's that.
I mean, he's a Super Bowl champion, threw a touchdown against the Cowboys.
Sound just like freaking Brandon. That's what he says every time we talk about Kenny Pickett. He goes, a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
He threw a touchdown against the Cowboys, Kevin. Don't you remember? And he won a Super Bowl.
Okay, that's...
And he played in the Super Bowl.
All right.
I mean, it was 68 to nothing or whatever.
He was on the field at the end. NFL overreaction or reality? Quinn Ewers should have stayed in school and just transferred somewhere else. Like, when you look at Carson Beck getting all of the money, and apparently for one of the Cavenders being a bad person.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Burn?
Dude, I've seen the videos. Like, it's been constant. I'm destroying you.
She put a devastating burn on him. We didn't broke up because he cheated. We broke up because who he is as a person. Damn! Ooh, that hurts. So he got, what, $4 to $6 million? Quinn Ewers could have got more money. So overreaction to reality. Quinn Ewers should have stayed in school and just transferred somewhere else.
That would be I think, reality. I seriously, he makes a lot of money in college. And I know he got replaced by Arch Manning, but that's a lot of money he could make at University of Houston.
Yeah.
But the more you fall off there, doesn't it seem like that's the further away you're getting from the NFL?
Yes.
So that would be the reality there, is that you're going to lose the luster for the NFL about you. That being said, he lost a lot of it. I mean, they already thought low of him at the end of this thing.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely think it's a reality. And the reason I say that is because he showed such promise and such flashes, like those two Alabama games. He got injured in that first one in Austin, but he just showed like he could be like a star and possibly franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
But the problem was that he just got injured so often and he never really recovered last year. So he kind of, in his camp, had to kind of think like, oh, like there's a chance that we could fall below the first round. And obviously there's going to be a huge money difference. So why not just go to back to college, transfer somewhere else, get that NIL money. And then on top of that, you build your stock back up because then people aren't thinking of the recency of, oh man, but he got injured and he never really looked right. Like, I think it would have worked out much better for him if he had just stayed and transferred.
I think I'm inclined to agree with you guys there. Now, NFL overreaction or reality, Travis Hunter is the best thing that could have happened to Trevor Lawrence.
Travis Hunter. Because because now he has a great receiver.
Yeah, hopefully somebody who can flip the field on the other side.
I think Brian Thomas definitely is a really good receiver. So now he's got a couple of good receivers if they're going to let him play there for sure. But yeah, man, on the defensive side of the ball, they added an athlete there. And I haven't looked at their complete draft yet to like analyze how that all has gone down for them. But that's a very good player for him. Now, the thing is, though, Kevin, if you're saying this, a lot of people with Trevor Lawrence, they're giving up on him. And being that high of a pick, are they going to look at this and go, hey, what does it matter how high of a pick you are? We had Trevor Lawrence, he was number one.
Well, I mean, look, they're stuck with him.
Yeah.
For
that Duval County's got to be, they're upset.
Many, many years. Mm-hmm. Just like what we talked about with the Cowboys. Maybe we need to do a different segment. Which teams are stuck with their quarterbacks? Like, they don't necessarily want them. They're not good enough, but the contract says, hey, you aren't going anywhere.
Cowboys love their quarterback.
Yeah, he finished second
in MVP voting.
I know. I remember that. I heard all about that. Ross, please make this stop. NFL overreaction or reality, Travis Hunter is the best thing that could have happened to Trevor Lawrence.
I think it is the best thing that could have happened for him because he needs some kind of like dynamic number one wide receiver to complement him. And I don't know how, what's his name, Etienne has been doing out in Jacksonville with Lawrence, but
he's fine.
But I think
had some fumbling issues.
You know, you really need for a young quarterback, and I understand he's been in the league for years now. He's gotten that second contract, but you really need to kind of help your quarterback's confidence by giving him a just well that he can consistently go to. And I think it could make a difference. But if he's really worth that contract he got, remains to be seen.
NFL overreaction or reality, and I have heard the reasons why they did this. The Steelers blew it by not drafting a quarterback before round six. Now, I know people have doubled down and they're like, that means they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. I don't care.
They got their guy.
I stand firm with this.
They got their guy, dude. That he was a tough quarterback. I think they're going to be just fine. You're standing firm that Aaron Rodgers won't be their quarterback?
Oh, he will. That he's not good.
No, yes, I agree anymore. With you on that. I think, yeah, you get in there and you say, hey, learn from this guy, if possible. You got 1 year. But he's not the kind of guy that's going to teach. Like that's the unfortunate thing.
He's like, oh, maybe I will.
He's not gonna teach anybody. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Well,
Howard's a good one.
Yeah, and I agree. Will Howard is a good quarterback. I mean, I watched him play when he was at Kansas State. I watched him when he beat my Longhorns back in the playoff. I mean, he is a very dependable quarterback. But the problem I always have with the Steelers, and this goes back to Big Ben when he was somehow still playing football, they cannot block. Like, they cannot. So you can pick however many quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers you want. If you can't keep your quarterback protected and give him time to throw the ball, it's not going to make a difference. But I do like the pick for him.
Now, I'm just going to tell you going into this question, I agree with this so, so, so much.
I disagree.
You might. NFL overreaction or reality? The commissioner is right when he says, quote, we got to shorten the first round of the NFL draft.
I agree.
Couldn't agree more.
The first round specifically.
Yes.
The whole draft, you'd still probably speed it up a little bit more, but the first round specifically, yes. Kevin, I agree with teams that make trades. They should share the time. So if there's only 10 seconds left, they got 10 seconds to get that one. You made the trade for a reason. Yeah. All right. Don't now you can't. There's no reason to go back on it. But yeah, I agree. Let's shorten that. What are they? Where are we at? How many minutes is it to the first round?
10 minutes. And so one of the things
that max.
Goodell was even thinking, he said 7 or 8 minutes.
You don't need that long. You don't need that long. Let the guys go ahead and do the pre-GM collusion thing where they're making trades together before the draft. They can start this conversation off the right way and then be like, hey, look, let's get this all done. Get all that work done beforehand.
Okay, hold on.
That way you can really draft.
Are you throwing out a binding pre-draft mock draft? I love this. Everybody, like, they're all sitting in that big U-shaped table, and they're like, all right, Giants, you're up at 3. Who are you going to take? I'm probably going to take Abdul Carter, unless, and then somebody goes, and they ring the bell, and they're like, I would like to offer a trade. And then you could still pretend all these things are happening on air.
That's going
to
leak.
They've already worked it out.
Oh, that's going to leak, probably though. That's true. The problem there. But yeah, they can have these secret phone call discussions, Kevin. That's perfectly fine. Have your phone call discussions and have lined up what you want to trade before you get into that room.
Ross, you immediately said agreed to that too, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's, I worked the draft last year. I didn't work this year over this past weekend, but my goodness, I was just like, I wanted to beat my head against a table. I was getting so fed up with all of the pomp and circumstance and how it's so just dragged out, and clearly, like, we have this whole weekend booked, so we are just going to milk it all night tonight. And it just takes way too long, especially when the later rounds go, you know, lightning quick.
Yeah. And I got one more for you, if that's okay. NFL overreaction or reality. At least one undrafted free agent will be on the Cowboys roster in week one.
From the ones they picked up?
Correct. Just this year, not ever.
Oh, okay.
Specifically this year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they got a couple.
Rivaldo Fairweather, the tight end?
They got a number of, well, man, don't we have like 15 tight ends?
Hey, but that's a cool name.
Yeah, seems like Justin Barron, like the guys that could be special teamers. For sure, like that's what the first mark is for you, is where your special teams is. A lot of people are asking about Isaiah Bond, and I think that's interesting. I mean, they picked up Holden, they picked up Josh Kelly, they picked up a couple receivers in the UDFA already.
But don't you think most people view Bond as, I don't know, where you thought he was going to end up going for fifth round, yeah, and they're like, hey, that's a good value.
But a
right
lot of these
there.
Positions that they picked up, just look at it. That is, the positions they picked up are built for special teams. So yeah, that's where that lands right now. So yes, you can definitely make your way on. And that, you're going to hear a lot of that from Christy Scales, from everybody we're talking to. When we get out to Oxnard, they're going to say, you know, his best way onto this team is through special teams. So he's really got to make his mark there, and then maybe they'll allow him to do the next thing.
One of the local kids on the list so far, Bruce Harmon, a cornerback who went to Rockwall Heath, and then he was at Stephen F. Austin before coming over here.
Bruce Harmon Killebrew.
I don't think that that is right. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we're going to continue with the content and get into another topic, but I feel like we'll do that in probably
Let's give something away!
877-881-1053, caller now. Number... Okay, we'll win.
Number 10, caller number 10.
A pair of tickets to go see Chris Brown at Globe Life Field on Wednesday, September the 3rd. You can, of course, go buy tickets, or you can win them for free right now. Caller number 10, 877-881-1053. All right, got a totally different topic that we're going to go with here. And this is something that I know you and I, we've talked about doing this for a while, but then there was a lot of fan, I guess, incidents, coach incidents over the weekend, and it felt more relevant than ever. What should fans be allowed to do and not allowed to do?
Ooh, I like this.
At sporting events.
So don't stab a fellow fan.
I agree with that. Hopefully most of this is common sense.
Do you agree?
But the Guardians addressed the comment that Jaren Duran, he was pissed and ready to go after somebody in the stands. And it was like, you know, what did he say? What did he say? And all he said was he crossed the line. But then you were talking about how things leak. The word is that allegedly a fan joked about his suicide attempt or mentioned his suicide attempt. And look, I can also see how that would throw you off your game or drive you into the stands. But I'm curious how many people were like, it's fine. Hopefully most people do not. But I know people have differing opinions about what you should be able to do or say as a fan.
Yeah, a lot of this morning, Bobby and Chop were discussing whether or not the Shador Sanders prank was cruel.
Okay.
And that, what you just mentioned, his suicide, bringing up a suicide attempt, does seem cruel. It seems funny. Like, I like funny hecklers more than anything else.
Sure.
Like the dude who kept calling Edgar Martinez Gino. Tino Martinez. Hey, Tino! I mean, like, that was hilarious to me because that's a funny bit. That seems a little cruel to go at something that's serious for somebody. Agree. But some people don't care, you know? And some people are like, look, I'm doing whatever I can for my team. That's fine if that's the way you feel about it. But I'm not going to go that far. I don't think you should throw cruel heckling into it.
Okay, then where does this fall in the hierarchy?
Don't bring up somebody's family. Like, I'm out on that,
fair.
Too.
Or racial slurs or anything like that. Yeah, I'm with you.
Because you talk about my kids and something, I'm probably going to have come over the wall.
Fair.
Like, that's probably happening.
What do you think about this then? So, James Franklin, the coach, the head football coach at Penn State, got into it with a fan at the annual spring game on Saturday. Allegedly, what the fan said that was Franklin is a fraud. And they kind of went back and forth, and Franklin said, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. If you want to come talk to me after the game, I'm happy to talk with you. That feels closer to a gray area than, hey, you tried to commit suicide, loser, or whatever that person said. That feels so far over the line.
The fraud part, can you explain, is there a reason behind that?
I think it's the idea. Fraud? No. I think it's more the idea of, I do not think this, it's like transactional
okay,
fraud.
Gotcha.
As much as like their consistent losses to ranked teams. I think that's more what it is.
Gotcha.
But I'll double check.
And I'm perfectly fine with that being said. I also like the idea that a coach is like, let's talk after the game.
Yeah.
Let me finish this up real quick and then we'll have a conversation if you want to stick around. And I would totally stick around and tell him what I think about him. And if he wants to have some thoughts too, let's have that conversation if he's willing to.
For the 972, how can you police what people say, though? I figured that would come up at some point, and I'm going to tell you an example of, like, I don't even like being at a game, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with this. If you're with your kids and somebody is, like, heavy swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. If you take your kid to the ball game, you're going to hear this, you're going to hear that. But if somebody is just, like, nonstop, like, F you, F this, F, I will admit, that really annoys me. But I'm sure at some point in my life, I was on the other side.
Yes.
When I was like, oh, you effing suck. So like, where do you fall on that?
Yeah, that's the thing too, is I know for a fact I talk loud at games. And after a few drinks, Kevin, I talk louder and I cuss more. Like, that's okay. Going to happen. And I'm talking to you. I'm not really yelling at the stadium. I'm not yelling at the field. I'm just talking to you and talking how I typically do. And so that might come across that way. But I think that's something out of your control, and that's just part of being out in the world. You know, like, you're going to hear those things in a lot of different places, not just a stadium. So I let it slide.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
All right. From the 817, chant, fire Nico, yes. Throwing out slurs, no. Throwing things, no. Personal life, family attacks, no. No over-the-top obscenities. And I bet that's the biggest point where people are going to disagree on what is over-the-top obscenity-wise versus what is, I'm at a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking my beer. I'm having my hot dogs. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I feel like that's, again, once I had my beer, that changed everything in my mind. I might have gone to that game not planning to cuss.
Okay.
Until that first beer went down, and then I got a little loose with my lips.
Okay. So on the
and
flip
the ships
side,
are sinking.
I get, yes, thank you for that. I get on the family point of view. What if that family member is an adult that plays the same sport?
One second, Kevin. Oh, Ross is very busy. I definitely want 682. Keep that drop. F U, F this, FFF. We need to keep that one around. So okay. I'm going to go ahead and mark that one.
We will see about that. Like, I know don't go after family, but if you went after Jose Canseco and you're like, hey, Ozzy is poor at this sport, like, that doesn't feel too far, right? Because it's an adult who's in the exact same league. I get it. Like, don't say some crap about their kids or their spouse or something like that. But, like, if they had a brother or sister that was playing in the exact same league, do you think you should be able to be like, that person is not good?
Yes, I think you can definitely bring that to the... If they're in the same sport, you can say that person is not good. From the 817, yeah, Kevin, one time at the Ranger game was in section 133. The whole section was chanting F the Cardinals, and all I remember is this dad and his kid, and I felt bad about it. But that's the whole section was going in on it because we lost the World Series.
No, and I get that. And in the moment, I don't think they were trying to run afoul of those people. I don't think they're like, hey, Corey, look at that stupid kid a couple rows up. Let's start chanting F words. Like, I don't think that's what happened.
Kids here?
Yeah.
Awesome. Always wanted to cuss in front of kids.
I think they were just, mark that.
No.
I think they were just out there and they were like, hey, man, we're having fun. You're just saying things. And then you don't really think about, like, the total gravity of what you've said maybe until after the fact.
From the 817, fans can't stand the whole game at any sporting event. It drives me bonkers. People don't stand for a whole opening drive in football.
All right.
And that's, I think fans should be up. I think they should be up and stomping. And if it's their home place, they should be trying to make it a home field advantage.
So that's what they do in the student section at Texas A&M.
I will say also, 133 was pretty exhausting.
Yeah, like, okay.
That's a tough night to be able to do all of it the whole time.
You had to be ready to go.
You had to be ready
to yell, ready to be moving, dancing, singing.
Sure.
You needed to know all of the chants. I don't necessarily agree with that person. I don't necessarily agree with never stand for the entirety of a game. If it's like a World Series game and people are like, I want to stand. There were times when you played the August non-conference opponent at A&M for football and it was 16 million degrees outside that I was like, can we sit down for a minute?
I don't know. You're starting to sound like a 2%.
I know. I know. And trust me, I never did. But I get why people would like, ugh.
Were you fanning yourself with a, did you use something to, oh my goodness, it's so warm out
no,
here.
No, that would only happen when there was a play of big importance. I was like, oh heavens, what a tackle. And I would fan myself.
Golly, me.
Yeah. But
get
like.
Get your handkerchief out and yeah. The forehead.
Oh heavens, need to dab myself. From the 214, standing in overtime hockey is a must. Go Stars. That's a great example. Tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
I know the series won't necessarily be decided for sure.
The series hinges on tonight.
But, okay, if it's 2-2, you're in overtime, and everybody wants to stand, well, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Stand.
Because, do not sit.
Yeah.
Honestly, do not sit tonight if that happens again. You need to be up. Don't wait for the players to, hey, you're in the playoffs. Don't wait for the players to give you something to cheer about. You cheer so that they can get that energy off of you. That's the way I feel that should be.
I agree, by the way.
From the 469, can you explain when the proper time is to do the wave at a Rangers game?
Never.
I would say just don't do it. Chuck is not going to be happy with you.
That's true.
Especially if it's a big moment and like of significance for the Rangers.
Yeah.
That's usually, you're getting blown out, you're blowing somebody out, then you can do it.
And here's one more rule I'd like to add to that, if possible. Not to sound like Eminem, but you get one chance, one opportunity, all right? You try to rally the people in your section to start the wave, and it is DOA, you're done for the day.
No, dude. I still have audio.
Oh, my God.
I still have audio from that dude that was in front of us.
Drunk off his ass.
He was drunk, and he just kept turning around trying to get everybody to go, and you were just furious with him, and I was like, nah, man, this is a great bit. I love it.
Here's the issue. He didn't make it more than two sections. I get it. Like, you're all the way at the left field foul pole. You get it all the way to the right side, and then maybe the richer people in their better seats decided against it. Fire that thing back up again. He didn't even get to left center, all right? That wave went nowhere.
You're right about that.
And he did it again and again and again.
I remember I got a couple of Tolos, Kevin, that we got to hang out with when we went and did the Rangers game out at Globe Life. Or maybe it was the old ballpark. It was the old ballpark. And they would just sit there, let's go Rangers. And they would do that. And they did it the whole game. They didn't
Rangers.
It wasn't, yeah, and they did it exactly like that too, and I loved it. But they weren't waiting to be told to cheer. And they did that thing the entire game. I liked it a lot because it felt like I was still connected to the game more in some way.
And this is tough. And I do get this from the 6A too. Not everybody is the same height. It can be unfair to stand the whole game or concert. Fact. So if you have general admission, I think that's part of the deal. Then like you need to get up to the front for like a concert or whatever. But if it's overtime, I'm not standing to like spite the shorter person in front of me, behind me. I'm standing because this could be the goal that decide. Well, obviously it'll decide the game, but this could be the goal that decides the series. Mm-hmm. This could be the goal that decides if you get your first Stanley Cup in 25 years, 26 years.
And if I'm sitting, I'm less likely to be locked in on what's going on.
Oh, interesting.
And more likely, if I'm standing, I'm more likely to be standing there watching. If I'm sitting, I might look at my phone. Might look at something else. That's probably what's going to happen.
And from the 214, stop the damn sing-along when the Stars are losing. Sometimes, frequently, I will not engage in the nonsense if we haven't like started elements of a rally. Like if the Rangers are losing by three and there's two outs and nobody on, I might be quieter. The second you get that hit or a walk or what, if somebody's on base, all right, I'm fired up. Like, let's go. Chuck knows what to do and I'll get fired up. But if it's 5-2 in the bottom of the fourth and there's two outs and nobody on, I might not go crazy for the noise-o-meter.
I'll be honest,
which
too,
goes
Kevin,
up no matter what you choose.
The noise, hey, you need to stop that.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Look it up.
No, it doesn't.
I would like this to happen one time when you see the noise-o-meter and it's like, we got to get
louder. You just want everybody to be quiet?
Nothing. I want everybody to lay out. You watch that thing still go to the top and know that it's all a lie.
Tonight, I want before the puck even drops, before the national anthem's even sung. You know, like that's what you need in playoff situations, regular season Ranger games. Chris Young wants that environment all the time.
Sure.
He really does.
He does.
He's begging for something like that from the Rangers fans. So, yeah, as we're talking about this, as we're discussing it, that's what Chris Young wants you to do for this team. And you're probably saying, I want them to score more runs. It feels like it's a hand-in-hand kind
of
thing.
Yes, and that's the case. If you cheering a little harder led to a run more a game,
yes.
Holy crap, this team would be amazing. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
We're going to play the name game with the draft and relive the Zach Wolchuk moment. Next on The Fan. Oh.